Senator Ted Stevens' fate is now in the hands of a Washington, D.C. jury. Judge Emmett Sullivan read jurors 81 pages of instructions this morning before the 8 women and 4 men went behind closed doors to deliberate. APRN's Libby Casey reports from Washington.
The final jury has 7 African-American women, 3 African-American men, 1 white woman, and 1 Hispanic man. It's a far different makeup than the demographic of Alaska, where less than 4% of the population is black. Judge Sullivan dismissed the 4 alternates Wednesday morning. They were chosen at random at the beginning of the trial and included the 1 white male in the group. The jury picked its own foreperson. It appears to be a middle-aged African-American man who said during the selection process that he previously served on a grand jury and on a jury before Judge Sullivan. The group began deliberating around noon after Sullivan told them they are the sole judges of the facts. He said the verdict of the case is their sole and exclusive responsibility. They deliberated until about 4 o'clock Wednesday when they sent a note to the judge asking if they could leave early. Judge Sullivan read the note in open court. The foreman wrote that things were kind of stressful and that the jurors needed a minute of clarity for all. The judge agreed they could leave for the day, reminding them not to talk to anyone about the case, even other jurors outside the jury room. They'll return to the courthouse Thursday morning at 9:30 to pick up where they left off. The group will deliberate daily from 9:30 to 4:45 with a lunch break every weekday until they reach a verdict. The jury must reach a unanimous conclusion on each of the 7 charges. They can convict Stevens on some and find him not guilty of others. Each charge carries a possible sentence of 5 years in prison, although jurors aren't allowed to consider punishment in their deliberations. The first count alleges Stevens schemed to conceal information on his financial disclosure forms. The rest of the counts break down the charges by year, starting with Stevens' 2001 form. Jurors must determine if Stevens knowingly and willfully made false or fraudulent statements when he filled out the mandatory information. On each of the forms, Stevens was required to disclose gifts over a certain amount of money, ranging from $260 to $305, depending on the year. The government says he failed to report items like a massage chair, a stained glass window, and renovations to his Girdwood house. Stevens isn't directly charged with lying about a couple of items jurors heard about during the trial, including the alleged gift of a generator. But jurors are allowed to consider those items as they look at the big picture. The government says things like the generator show Stevens' conduct and show proof of motive or intent. The same goes for a sweetheart loan Stevens allegedly received in connection with a Florida real estate deal, and instances where Vico CEO Bill Allen allegedly got Stevens' son a job and paid for his grandson's job training. They can show a pattern of conduct. How the jury chooses to tackle the case and sift through all the information is up to them. The trial lasted a month and included testimony of more than 50 witnesses, 32 for the defense and 24 for the prosecution. Evidence includes audio recordings, emails, letters, invoices, checks, and appraisals, floor plans, and photos of Stevens' Girdwood home. It all comes into play now as the jurors weigh Stevens' guilt or innocence. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.